Traditional revenue sources for public media and really the media at large are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
Fashion giant's clothing waste turns toxic. Hello, you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. A very good morning to you. A human rights group in Cambodia says that clothing waste from big brands like Adidas, Walmart and others are being burnt as cheap fuel in factories making bricks. And according to the Cambodian League for the Promotion and Defence of Human Rights, some workers are getting sick from the fumes. The BBC's Celia Hatton has all the details.
Cambodia has a huge garment industry, 700,000 people making, stitching clothing, shoes, bags, all sorts of things for big name brands. There's a lot of waste created, but it seems that some of this waste, according to the report, is not being taken to the official waste disposal facilities. It's being diverted and sold off to brick factories. They took photos of what they discovered there. You could see mountains, just huge piles of what look like just scraps of fabric and rubber and plastic, but also a lot of labels. So many of these things were stamped with the labels of the companies that they seem to have been made for. Lululemon, Lidl, Disney, The Gap, Reebok, Adidas. It was very clear where these things had come from. The workers at the kiln factories and people living around the factories are reporting things like migraines, respiratory problems. The report even mentioned one pregnant woman who said she'd been having problems during her pregnancy because she'd been living next to these brick factories. And so some quite disturbing things. I spoke to Adidas. They got back to me very, very quickly saying that they had launched their own investigation to try to figure out how their factory waste ended up beside these brick factories. They didn't discount the findings of this report, and they were quite clear that they had quite strict environmental policies. Other companies have seemingly ignored this report. They haven't gotten back to the authors of this report. So far, we haven't heard anything from The Gap or Disney, for example. Other companies, Primark, Lidl, both say they're investigating. And so there's a mixture.
Celia Hatton there. Now, let's do the numbers. Chinese property stocks got a 4% boost after reports of financial authorities there had told state-backed lenders to offer more credit to private developers. Meanwhile, European stocks are pretty flat. Europe's region-wide Stoxx 600 is down 0.1%, and London's FTSE 100 is down 0.4%. Now, 3 years ago, Zambia and Southern Africa couldn't pay its debts, so the International Monetary Fund, which provides financial help to economies in crisis, stepped in. But as Zambia tries to reduce its big debt, objections from countries it owes money to, including China, are causing problems. Trevor Hambai is from Development Finance Associates in the capital, Lusaka. He says the debt deal will be a group effort, but China has a particular interest in getting it right.
Zambia owes more than half of its debt to China, which is in both components of commercial credit as well as concessional loans. So it is the part that is speaking to the commercial credit that is of concern for China. But it is important that this structure that Zambia acquires is speaking to be able to support the other countries that China has lent to. It will create a benchmark for them to be able to work through debt restructuring for the other countries.
That was Trevor Hambai from Development Finance Associates. Long lines of trucks are stuck at Poland's border with Ukraine because of a Polish truckers' protest, which is blocking all the key crossing points. This dispute is over Ukrainian truck companies' access to the EU and follows a serious disagreement between Kyiv and Warsaw over grain imports. The BBC's Sarah Rainsford reports from the border.
Stanislav climbs up into the cab of his truck and shows me where he's been living for over a week now. Stuck on the road home to Ukraine. He's one of hundreds of Ukrainian lorry drivers trapped by a dispute with Polish truckers who are blockading the border. It is another sign of tension with a key ally that worries Kyiv. In fact, it's called this Polish protest a stab in the back. Stanislav radios up the queue for news, but he's told they're moving nowhere. The line of lorries now stretches for 20 kilometres. And Stanislav tells me his supplies, his cash and his patience are running out.
People's nerves in this queue are really fraying. We can't take much more. Is this how Poland helps us? What can I say? Thank you, Polish people, for this help.
We drove all the way up the queue to the roadblock and the Polish truckers, who are just as frustrated and just as forthright. Paweł Azygała tells me ever since Ukrainian truckers were allowed into the EU with no limits, Polish firms have been losing out. The measure was meant to help Ukraine during the war. But Paweł says his business has lost tens of thousands of euros.
We're constantly supporting Ukraine, but we need to support our own families too. It's a matter of to be or not to be for our companies now.
The protesters are letting food through. This truck is full of bananas, and military aid to Ukraine is waved through too. But otherwise, they've choked the traffic flow to a couple of trucks an hour in each direction. It is a dramatically different place to when hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians crossed here as refugees, welcomed by Poland, which saw Russia's invasion as a direct threat to them too. Just across the fields from the truck protest, the village shopkeeper told me how people had taken Ukrainians into their homes then, collecting clothes for them and food. And she thinks that solidarity is still strong. But I found other villagers lukewarm now at best about their neighbour. Jolanta told me she'd had enough of helping Ukrainians. And Sofia agreed. She blames tough times here in Poland itself for that. That's hard to hear for men from a country at war that can't afford to get tired of defending itself. Right now, though, the Ukrainian drivers tell me they just want to get home. The talks on ending this protest, though, are going nowhere, just like their long line of trucks.
In Poland, I'm the BBC's Sarah Rainsford for Marketplace.
And I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.